Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
All right, are we ready for God's word? Here we go. Mobilize, marshal your troops. The enemy is laying siege to Jerusalem. They will strike Israel's leader in the face with a rod, but you, verse 2, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, thereabouts, only a little town among all the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, amen, will come from you on my behalf. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth. Then at last his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land, and he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength. In the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God. How awesome is that? Then his people will live there undisturbed. Wow, that's a promise from God's word for you today. His people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world. Come on, who believes that to be true? He will be highly honored around the world. Verse 5, and he will be the source of peace. You know, this COVID season has affected people in a variety of ways. This week I caught up with a pastor who's from Melbourne, and he was telling me about the lockdown. He was telling me about the experience they went through as a family. He's telling me about how for 4 weeks he couldn't see his young adult children who lived down the road from him. He found himself, he said, locked up in this apartment with his wife, and he said after a week they were doing okay, but after a couple of weeks he said it really started to get to them. And their inability during that lockdown period that Victoria experienced to be able to get around and to have a normal life. Over the last couple of weeks, I've spoken to pastors around Australia who I would say normally are quite positive people and the kind of people that always have a positive faith confession. And I've seen some pastors really just speaking about 2020 in a not so kind of nice way. And declaring the year to be a year that really is one to kind of forget. I've noticed that this COVID season has caused in people an uncertainty about the future. Some people have felt destabilized. Some people, because of an inability to be able to forecast family holidays, will the borders be open? Will the borders be closed? Will I be able to see family interstate? Will I be able to go and see my parents? For some of you, some of your family lives in another city, and the complications that were taking place in our nation. On social media, it's been interesting to watch how people have put up posts about which will be the first city you'll visit when borders are open. And who would have ever thought in Australia that we would live in a nation in our time where our borders were actually close to each other? I've been listening at times to 2GB, the talkback radio station, hearing that people who have family interstate, and one lady gets on the radio and she's crying and she's saying, my sister who lives in Perth, she's based in Sydney, she said, my sister's just had a baby, it's the first child in our family, and she said, I can't get on a plane to go and see my own sister in Western Australia. And this season has caused people to feel hemmed in. This season has caused people to feel disconnected. And I've noticed even in our own church, people who've disconnected from the purposes of God. People who, instead of digging deeper in times of trial and tribulation, some have actually walked away from the purposes of God. Now, of course, there are many of our church who are still watching online, and I'm all for that, and I think it's absolutely fantastic, particularly those maybe who have a compromised immunity. You need to be smart, and you need to be wise, and I think it's a good thing. But there are people who've fallen into the habit, who could be here physically in church, have chosen to remain online, when I believe that if you can be in person, then you actually should. There's nothing like being here in the presence of God with God's people, receiving communion together, sitting under the anointing, interacting with the people of God, because we've been created in His image, and His image is that God is relational. When we say God, we are in fact saying Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because we are created in His image, the most natural thing for us to do is to be in relationship with one another. When we are out of relationship with the people of God, it is unnatural. I found myself in this COVID season becoming hooked to the news cycle. I am someone who, obviously, I've got to stay on top of all the bits and pieces that are going on with the COVID rules and changes and so on. I found myself watching way too much of the news. And, you know, there was the day or a day back in the past where the news was pretty much the newspaper and the 6 o'clock news. Now news is accessible 24/7. And how many of you know that excessive news consumption will actually cause stress? And it will actually give you a negative perception of the world. Just recently, Pastor Allison and I, we said, we're going to make some changes here in our own family, in our own watching of the news, and just put some boundaries in place, because this is unhealthy for us in this COVID season. I've watched people who could not stop checking the narratives of the pandemic. All kinds of things have gone on in this season. Do you know that today, in fact, I was counting last night, today is the first day. It's been 9 months since we've been able to sing in church. Who would have thought for 9 months in the nation of Australia, we could not sing in church in New South Wales? This season has caused people to feel disconnected, uncertain about the plans and the purposes of God. People have felt directionless. People have wondered, God, what are you up to? People have lost work, lost jobs in our congregation. It's derailed them. It's made them feel destabilized in the purposes of God. Of course, across the globe, we've seen all kinds of protests and conspiracy theories. And number four in Google searches for in Australia for 2020 was the US election. People trying to figure out what is going on across the globe. And every 10 minutes, another dire post has come up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. People have felt under siege. The passage that we read this morning, it's a passage of a group of people who were hemmed in, a passage of a group of people who were destabilized in the purposes of God. Micah chapter 5 verse 1 says, mobilize, marshal your troops. The enemy is laying siege to Jerusalem. They will strike Israel's leader in the face with a rod. What we are reading is a prophetic word that was given by Micah, and the fulfillment of that prophetic word was found in 2 Kings chapter 25. You can read that in your own time. King Zedekiah and his army, they came under siege, and Jerusalem came under siege. And King Zedekiah and the army and the people of God, they ran as the Babylonian army came, and they captured King Zedekiah. They killed his son. They pulled out his eyes. They bound him, and they took him to Babylon. This was a vicious, brutal, callous, and cold-hearted attack. And people have felt in this COVID season under siege. The Amplified puts it this way in Micah chapter 5 verse 1. It says, now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops, a state, in other words, Jerusalem, a state of siege has been placed against us. Who would have thought that in Australia, we could not go and see family members? My mother passed away in Perth 2 years ago. My dad lives on his own. And for this season of loneliness, I couldn't as a son go and even visit my dad to make sure that he was doing okay. What a place or what a time to live in when we have been under siege. Some of you this morning, you felt under siege. You felt hemmed in. You felt cornered. You felt like you've been in an inescapable position. Where do I go? What do I do? What decisions do I make for the betterment of my family? What choices should I make to listen to God, to hear His voice, to outwork His plan and His purposes for my life? How many of you know, though, that whenever the enemy brings the people of God under siege, our amazing God has an incredible plan? Because it does not finish in verse 1. There is verse 2. And verse 2 says in Micah chapter 5, but you. I love that it says, but. Who loves the but right there? Notice how the verse begins with the word but. The word but is there to contrast or to indicate something that has come before. In other words, or another way of saying it is to introduce something different to what has been said before. God is introducing, come on church, say amen. God is introducing something new in this season. There is a but right now. Epaphroditus was sick, but God had mercy on him. When I was catching up with Pastor Andrew Evans one day, living in Adelaide, and Pastor Andrew was just telling me about a little bit of their story of when he was a younger man in ministry and when he was in Papua New Guinea doing missions. And, you know, in those days, when you do missions, often you kind of go for a week or two, you know, in those times, you know, people would literally go for years and spend time on the mission field. Pastor Andrew, at the time, there was a real emphasis in our movement in the Assemblies of God in Australia in reaching the nation of Papua New Guinea. Pastor Andrew, him and his wife, Mrs. Evans, they go over to Papua New Guinea, and there is a massive spread of the gospel that has taken place in Papua New Guinea because of some of those that have gone before us. You go anywhere in Papua New Guinea, there are born-again believers spread across that nation. It's quite a phenomena, to be honest. Pastor Andrew told me the story of, he's a young man, and both Russell, his son, Russell Evans, and Ashley Evans were both born in Papua New Guinea. He said Mrs. Evans picked up a sickness, and they didn't have, at that time, the hospitals and the medicine that they now have in that nation. And he said Mrs. Evans grew worse and worse, and they thought, we got to get her back to Australia. She's going to die. And that literally the night before they were about to jump on a plane to come back to Australia, they hear some noise in the roof. And Mrs. Evans is... She wakes up because of this noise, and there is a huge python. And Pastor Andrew said this python came right up to their faces like this, and she looked at it. She woke up and she froze in fear. And she said, because of the sickness and the way she was feeling, she said something broke in her. Something broke in her emotions. Something broke in her body. Something broke in her ability to just think right. And Ashley, her son, I took him once to Papua New Guinea. He told me the story that for years and years, he wouldn't go back to Papua New Guinea just because of what his mum went through. It was shattering for them as a family. And he said that when I took him to Papua New Guinea for the first time after years and years, he said, you know, Brad, the last memory I had of Papua New Guinea was landing, flying from Port Moresby to Brisbane, and an ambulance waiting on the tarmac to take my mum away. Mrs. Evans, great family, great woman of God, broken. Pastor Andrew said they went through a journey. They were living in Adelaide at the time. And he said he was asked, would he be open to becoming the pastor of a church called Klemzig Assemblies of God? So Pastor Andrew prayed and Mrs. Evans wasn't doing well. And he said, Father, if this is your will, if this is your plan, if you have my wife and I take on this church, I need you to heal my wife. Hopeless, under siege, hemmed in. Mrs. Evans was reading the Word of God. And she said, all of a sudden, the supernatural of His Word started to become alive to her. And as she drank from the Word of God and received the bread of life, she said something began to change in her body. This was a but God moment. She was hemmed in. She was at a place where it was an inescapable position. She held on to the Word. She drank from the Word. Because the Word of God, according to the book of Proverbs, is health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And Mrs. Evans had a breakthrough. That church, this Klemzig Assemblies of God, some of you would know it as Paradise Now Assemblies of God or Influencers Church. It was out of that one church that worldwide moves of God have occurred. It is out of that one church that Planet Shakers Youth and Planet Shakers Church was actually birthed from. Because there was a but God moment. You may feel hemmed in. You may feel like you're in an inescapable position. You may feel as though, God, where is this all going to lead? But I want you to know that even in this COVID season, there is a but God moment for you. Verse 2 says, but you, O Bethlehem, watch what it says, are only a little town. God chooses a little town to outwork His purposes. I've been to Bethlehem. It's about 8 kilometers south of Jerusalem, 2,000 meters above sea level. It's an insignificant town, and in fact, at the time in the Bible, Bethlehem was so insignificant that when Joshua conquered the Promised Land, Bethlehem was one of the areas that was conquered, but it was so small and so insignificant that it's not even mentioned in the book of Joshua. Bethlehem was not even deemed important enough to be mentioned. But how many of you know out of little places, out of small things, God can outwork His purposes? Because there was a man by the name of Boaz who fell in love with Ruth. It was at Bethlehem that that occurred. It was also at Bethlehem that the prophet Samuel went searching for a young man. And he found a young man by the name of David. It was at Bethlehem that David was anointed to be king. It was at Bethlehem that Jacob's wife, Rachel, died when she was giving birth. You'll see it in Genesis chapter 35. And as Rachel was giving birth, she decided to name her son. And it tells us in the Word of God that she calls her son's name as that she's at the place of moving from this side to eternity. And she says, his name shall be Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. Later, Jacob renames him and says his name shall actually be called son of my right hand. It is a picture in Bethlehem of what was to come. The Lord's suffering and the Lord's glory. The cross, come on church, and the throne. Where did it happen? It happened at Bethlehem. You need to know this morning that although COVID has tried to hem you in, it will not lock you down. It will not hem your purposes in the things of God. You are a child of the King. You are anointed. You are above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You may sit in this auditorium today and think, I am insignificant and I am a nobody. I'm from a little town. But out of a little town can come the most amazing things. God's not after your talent. He's after your faithfulness. Amen. Come on, I'm preaching good today. He's after your faithfulness. Man looks at outward appearance, but God looks at the intents of the heart. You are not insignificant. You are not small. You are not a nobody. You're a daughter of the King. You're a son of the King. You carry a kingly authority and anointing in the purposes of God. You can shift villages. You can shift cities. You can shift nations. You can speak to mountains and they will move and bow their knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's have a look at what came from this little. You enjoying today's message? Christmas message today, by the way. I know it doesn't sound like one, but it is. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past. The writer's trying to describe eternity. The best word he could think of is distant past. Who is that ruler? His name is Jesus. He stepped out, a man of eternity, into human history. Can you say amen? One translation says, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Why is it important for us to know that? Because he is not a God who is beneath us or beneath circumstance. He is the Lord who is ruler over all. He rules over your circumstance. He rules over your situation. He rules over your workplace. He rules over what you are going through, meaning that he must be a king. King Jesus. Can you say amen? Let's look at how he would rule. Micah chapter 5, verse 4 says, and he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength. You don't need to do this in your own strength. You don't need to do this in your own ability. You are being led with the Lord's strength. And if God be for us, who can be against us? The word of God says, the hills melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. That is when the presence of God comes. Every circumstance must bow its knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Watch how he's leading. He's leading his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Watch this. He's a ruler, but he's a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a loving shepherd. He's a caring shepherd. He's not leading you like a drill sergeant. This, I know some of you like boot camp, but he's not leading you like it's a boot camp. He's gentle, he's humble, and he's lowly in heart. A little nudge here, a little bit of an encouragement there. You're going this way a bit too far. Let's turn you this way a little bit. He's a good shepherd and he loves you today. He's for you and he's not against you. He's blessing you. He's with you. And later, David would speak about this good shepherd that we're talking about today in Psalm 23, verse 1. And David would say, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice that David did not say the Lord is our shepherd. He has had a personal revelation that the Lord, the God of this universe, is my shepherd. That is, he is actively and presently involved in my life today. And this good shepherd, even though you may feel hemmed in, he's leading you. He's guiding you. He's encouraging you. He's with you. He's turning you a little this way, turning you a little that way. And as sheep, we have the tendency to look what's down in front of us and what's before us. But our good shepherd, he sees the future. He sees the big picture. He knows what's best for your family. He knows the paths to take and paths of righteousness, the right paths for his name's sake. And when you need a little bit of restoration, he leads me beside still waters. When you need to relax a little bit because you're going too hard, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. And when you need a little bit of nourishment, he says, come to the table, have something to eat. This cup runs over. This is buffet central in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, amen, church. The good shepherd. You're not hemmed in. This is not an inescapable position for you. I prophetically speak into your spirit. And I say that whatever the situation is, it has no authority over you. It has no power over you. It has no control over you. Why? Because the Lord, your shepherd, is leading you to the right place. The Lord, your shepherd, knows everything that you need. Micah goes on to tell us a little bit more about this good shepherd. Says in Micah chapter 5, verse 4, then his people will live there undisturbed. Come on, that's a promise for some of you today. Who would just like a little bit of a season where it's undisturbed? Amen? Oh, come on, about four of us need that. The rest of us, come on. Who needs a season where it's like, I just want to be undisturbed? Amen? Come on, it's a promise from the Word of God for you today. We're undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world. And here we go, and he will be the source of peace. Craig, you could come, please. That'd be great. He will be the source of peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says, for he himself is our peace. When we have Jesus, we have shalom. Shalom is not peace in the sense of how we understand peace. Shalom is joy. Shalom is life. Shalom is prosperity. Shalom is health in your body, your soul, your mind, and in your emotions. He himself will be our peace. Amen. O little town of Bethlehem, something so small, something so insignificant, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus, our good shepherd. It may seem insignificant to you. Things may seem small. Does Jesus even care? Does he even know how I'm feeling? Oh, there we go. Does he even know what I'm going through? Let me say this to you. There's nothing too great for God's power and nothing too small for his fatherly care. Say that again. There's nothing too great for God's power and nothing too small for his fatherly care. The Good Shepherd loves you today. He's blessing you. He's strengthening you. He's encouraging you. This Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you, as you think about Bethlehem and you think about a town that, you know, seems like it's a storybook of some sort, out of this little, insignificant, small town, came the greatest king ever. His name is Jesus, and he's with you, and he loves you, and He cares for you today. Some of you have felt hemmed in. Some of you have felt like you're in an inescapable position. Where do I go? What do I do? Who do I talk to? Our solution today is to reach out our hand and grab the hand of the Good Shepherd. Our solution today is to say, Jesus, lead me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Maybe today, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. Some of you have felt very lonely in this season, felt disconnected. It's not that you have a bad heart, it's just where you found yourself. God sees your tears, sees your pain, sees what you're going through. He loves you, He's with you. And this is what we're going to do. Our worship team are going to come, and we're going to look to Jesus today, our Good Shepherd. And if that's you today, and you've been feeling a little bit like hemmed in this season, you feel a little bit neither here, neither there, you're in that in-between zone. In-between zone's tough, because you can't really go forward, not really going backwards. Maybe it's two steps forward, two steps back, I'm not sure. But whatever it is, the Good Shepherd is on your side. I want to pray for you today. If that's what you've been going through, the way you've been feeling, would you just kindly just stand up just right where you are so I know who I'm praying for? Come on, if that's you today, be bold, be strong. Come on, people are standing up right across the auditorium. Nothing to feel embarrassed or, yeah, you just be honest, be bold today. Right where you are, an inescapable position, say, I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I need His help today. He came like a rushing mighty wind. You know why? Because He was their helper then. He's going to be your helper today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you today. Thank you today. Thank you today. Father, I just pray for every single person that's standing right now. Thank you, Lord, for breakthrough in their lives. Thank you that every circumstance has no authority, it has no power. I thank you, Father, today that when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So I speak the breakthrough of God. I speak the power of God. I speak financial release. I speak joy. I speak life. I speak answers today. And Father, I declare that as you've declared yourself as the Good Shepherd, Lord, you will lead your people with strength. You will lead your people to right places. You will lead your people to green pastures. So Lord, I release every circumstance into your hands. And I thank you that with men things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. I thank you that your name is Baal Perazim, the God of the breakthrough. I thank you as the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, that the walls will come down as we worship and praise your name. I thank you today, Heavenly Father, as Lazarus was in that tomb, locked up, bam! All it took was one word from you, and life came into his body. So I speak life into every circumstance. I pray and declare these things in Jesus' mighty name, mighty name. Can we all just stand up on our feet this morning and just for a few moments, we're going to just open up our hearts to the King and just allow the Good Shepherd to lead us with grace and with wisdom in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship Him together.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.